Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, we are giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew in Denver. They have two great locations in the Denver metro area, North Denver, and then there's one off of Arapahoe Road in Centennial. That's where I go. It's easily the best barbecue place in town, one of the best restaurants in town, period. Dave had another life. He was a restaurateur, and he's brought some of his great dishes to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You've had the po' boy, the crawfish po' boy. Is that right, Mace?
Correct, yes.
Tremendous. I've had that as well. The chicken marsala is great. Outstanding sides, fantastic desserts. $20 in your pocket right now, 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. By the way, CBS Denver is reporting, if you're looking to buy Nuggets tickets close to the court for the home opener on Friday against the Spurs, you're going to have your COVID vaccine card or proof of a negative test. So if you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, or you don't have a negative test or proof of that, don't even bother trying to be courtside for the Nuggets game at Ball Arena. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, Case Keenum is going to start in place of Baker Mayfield tomorrow night. Keenum, though, has a strong track record as a starting quarterback with his now head coach, Kevin Stefanski, as Stefanski was the quarterback's coach when both of those guys were with Minnesota in 2017. That year, Keenum started 14 games, 11-3 as a starter, completed nearly 67% of his passes, while averaging nearly 237 yards passing per game, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. How much do you think this partnership from the past matters?
A little bit. I mean, I think the bigger thing is like the partnership was with Pat Shurmur, and Pat Shurmur's on the other side now. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to help him that much. What do you think?
I think it matters a lot, and I'll tell you why. Let's look at Pat Shurmur and Drew Lock. Does Pat Shurmur know what Drew Lock does well? Yes. Does he know what Drew Lock doesn't do well? Yes. Does Pat Shurmur design plays like three wideout sets knowing Drew Lock isn't very good at it? Yes. As a quarterback's coach, as an offensive coordinator, you know what your quarterback does well, what he doesn't do well, what he's capable of, so you design a game plan to highlight his strengths.
But that's not what Pat Shurmur did for Drew Lock.
That's my point.
That's why I'm not sure how valuable it is.
No, that's my point exactly. Yeah. That Shurmur knows what Lock doesn't do well, yet still puts him in those positions. Stefanski does know what Keenum does well, what he doesn't do well. And I don't think he's going to design a game plan at Keenum's weaknesses like Shurmur does with Locke. That's my point. They know each other. They spent a year together, at least, when Keenum had his best year. If Stefanski is smart, and I'm guessing he is, he's going to devise a game plan where Case Keenum is in the best possible position to succeed, unlike with what Pat Shurmur does, and he doesn't do that with Drew Lock.
The question is, why doesn't Shurmur do that with Drew Lock?
Because Lock has enough deficiencies where Shurmur feels this guy can't run a pro-style offense that has three wide receiver sets. That's why Lock was more successful with Scangarello, because Scangarello played to Locke's strengths, and Shurmur doesn't do it. I'm not blaming Shurmur necessarily, although he should try and play to his quarterback's strengths, right? But what Shurmur is trying to do is saying, you know what? You're going to have to be uncomfortable, and you're going to have to be better in situations where NFL quarterbacks have to succeed. So Shurmur is taking a hard line with Drew Lock, saying, you're just going to have to learn this stuff. Where Scangarello babied Lock, and that's why Lock was more successful. For one game, for just one game, you can do that with Case Keenum. Can you do it for 16? No. But can you do it for one? Yes.
You could argue that the Vikings, when Shurmur was Stefanski's boss, as Shurmur offensive coordinator, Stefanski QB coach, you could argue the Vikings really managed to do it for about three quarters of a season with Case Keenum.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But all you have to do is for one. I'll ask you, would you if you had one game, who would you rather be your offensive coordinator for just this game on Saturday if Lock plays? Scangarello or Shurmur?
Scangarello.
So would I.
Now, and it would be a simplified game plan, yes, but he's shown that he's willing to do it.
Right. Now, who would you rather have for 16 games? I hate to say it, I'd probably argue for Shurmur.
Yeah, and the part of it is there is, while Scangarello did a good job simplifying it for Drew Lock in those five starts, you kind of look at the body of work over the course of that season, especially with Joe Flacco, and he didn't do a very good job maximizing what Joe Flacco still had. And there were a lot of moments in there where I felt like Scangarello, looking back on it, to me, he got way too cute at times. You think, like, remember the preoccupation with a tight end around at the worst possible times?
You mean like the opening play of Scangarello's career?
And not only that, when they were trying to chew clock and extend a drive on third and short in Minnesota, when they were trying to preserve a lead, and they call it, it goes nowhere, and they go and they have to punt. The Vikings come back and win. And I felt like, and one thing about Shurmur compared to Scangarello is I think Shurmur at least has a little bit of better situational feel than Scangarello does, and that's why over the long haul you'd rather have Pat Shurmur. But this isn't to say Pat Shurmur is, one of the top three or four offensive coordinators. Like, he's an average OC. That's what he is. Right. He's an average OC.
All right, real quick, I want to read this tweet from Eddie today on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. He said, if the Broncos get their asses kicked by the Browns JV team, Fangio and Shurmur need to be canned for good. So wait, do I root for them to lose then? Quite the dilemma for Broncos country. What is the mood going to be if they win tomorrow? What is the mood going to be if they lose tomorrow?
I mean, if they win, I think probably maybe the magnitude or the type of win matters. If they win and they just kind of barely eke by and it's clearly because the Browns were shorthanded, then I don't know if it's going to feel all that good. If the Broncos win by a bunch, even if it's against the Browns B team, at least I think that'll kind of serve as a reminder that, hey, there are a fair amount of teams left on the schedule they should beat. And I think that will have people feeling good. Look, if they beat this Browns team, let's say they beat them by double digits, then I think you can safely say, all right, they should beat Washington. They should beat Philadelphia. They should beat Detroit and have a decent chance to beat Cincinnati when they come in. All of a sudden, that's eight wins right there, and you just got to figure out a way to find a little bit more when Bradley Chubb and Jerry Jeudy come back to get a couple more.
If they win this game, it's going to feel like white bread. Totally filling, but totally unsatisfying, because everybody knows how banged up the Browns are. People are going to say they should have won. And you know what? That's what I'm going to say, too. They should have won this game. They absolutely should have won this game. There's no excuse for losing it. There's none, zero, for losing this game. The Broncos are not banged up like the Browns. There are far more teams more banged up than the Broncos right now. The Broncos are missing Jerry Jeudy and Bradley Chubb, and I understand they're missing their two inside linebackers who, quite frankly, aren't great. They're good, but they're not great. Judy's great. Chubb has the potential to be great. Alexander Johnson, I don't care what Pro Football Focus says. He's good. Josie Jewell, he's good at tackling. But they're not great. They're nowhere near.
They're not great, but there's a big drop.
They're fine.
Off,
they're fine. They're fine. They're good. They're fine.
Yeah, there's a huge drop off there, though.
I understand that.
Yeah.
They're fine. That's all they are. They're Jags. Just another guy. Although Jewel was playing great before he got injured.
He was, and the thing that they do is if you had them both, you'd probably feel like you had a huge advantage against the run, and with the Browns not having Nick Chubb, not having Kareem Hunt. And now I think you've kind of seen that advantage is kind of one hand washes the other at this point.
The truth is they're playing the Browns JV offense, and there's really no other way to put it, especially if they're missing both tackles, at least one or two wide receivers. Heck, AJ Green is out for the season, or he's out right now. They're missing three great wide receivers potentially. It's the JV team. And if the Broncos defense can't shut these guys down, God help Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator / head coach. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk more about this game tomorrow with a guy who knows a lot about football, won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, Todd Davis. He's next. Red
Alert. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you'd like to get wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, but wholesale, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my guy, Eric Cook, at Farmers Insurance. Trust is a huge thing with me, and that's why I've worked with Eric Cook for over 5 years. We're talking about insurance, commercial, auto, home, or life. I'm telling you, he's the best. I'm not working with somebody for 5 years unless they are outstanding. He is quick to return phone calls and emails, even does it on his day off. Eric's staff at Cook Insurance has over 70 years of experience. They're going to know the right questions to ask to get you the right policy. Call Eric Cook at Cook Insurance today, 303-790-8089, 303-790-8089. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I'm going to bring in our friend Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ and linebacker with the Denver Broncos. His segment is brought to you by the Davis Fund. How are you, Todd?
Doing great. How are you?
Terrific. Hey, so the Broncos are 3-3. If the playoffs started today, they would be in the playoffs. As a guy who spent a lot of time in the locker room, do you think the guys in that locker room right now feel like they are a playoff team?
Honestly, I'm not sure. They've had some good games.
How would you feel?
My thought is that we need to be more balanced. We all have to come to play together as a whole. If we play good, we're a really good team. And if we don't come to play, we're not as great of a team. So I think that's what's going through their mind right now, is that they know they can't compete with anybody if they all come to play.
What about the challenge of going on Thursday night, going on a short weekend, in particular for someone like Teddy Bridgewater, who's dealing with a foot, ankle, quad injury at this point? What is when a player is hurting like that, what does he have to do to try to be ready on such short notice?
Yeah, everything gets ramped up. So normally you may get a stretch throughout the week, a massage on a different day, maybe do some cold tub on another day. And all that kind of gets crammed into every day. Every day you're stretching, every day you're going to the training room, every day you're doing everything you can to get your body back out there to experience the car crash again is really what it is. So you really have to cram down your week to get as much treatment and recovery in as possible.
I don't know if you saw Teddy at the podium yesterday, but when he got off the podium, and you've been on that podium in the past, you got to take a step down. And he looked like he was struggling to get off that podium. He's got a foot injury. He's got a quad injury. As a guy who played football for many years, is it fair to say that sometimes, because players always want to play, that the coach has to protect the player from himself?
I think, yeah, that's a fair statement to make. I don't know if it's the case right now with Teddy, but I know definitely for myself, there were times where I definitely shouldn't have been playing. I needed surgery on my shoulder, and I was like, no, I'm playing. Take a couple of Advil, and let's get to work. But I definitely remember times where I think back and like, man, I probably should have been playing that game.
Speaking of your time as a player, you were on the team with Case Keenum. Keenum's going to start for the Browns on Thursday night. We all watched Keenum and what he did for the Broncos back in 2018. But from your perspective, having played alongside him, what can the Broncos expect from him in this game?
You know, honestly, I expect him to be a totally new player. I expect him to try and reinvent himself and try to prove to the Broncos fans and himself that he was worthy of being a starting quarterback. I think people have kind of wrote him off just like they did Ryan Tannehill in many ways, and you never know what you're going to expect. He was a good quarterback for a good time in this league, and I feel like he's going to try to get back to that on Thursday night.
I feel like, Todd, we just asked you this question last week or a couple of weeks ago. You were the guy who called plays on the field for the defense. Now, Alexander Johnson is out for the season. Josie Jewell is out for the season. Now you have Justin Strnad calling plays. AJ has played for a while. Strnad hasn't. How difficult will it be for him to call plays? A guy who hasn't played a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely a learning curve for him. I remember the first time I called plays was my second year in the game. And it was a Thursday night game, I think, against the Bengals. And just balancing calling the plays and knowing your assignments and then trying to breathe because, you know, all this weight is now on your shoulders. It's definitely a learning curve that comes with being able to call the plays and be in charge of the whole defense. Because before you could rely on somebody else to get the play to everybody, you could think about your job and what you had to do. Now your responsibility is to get the whole defense lined up, make sure we're all on one accord and ready to play.
Now, Todd, when did you first have the green dot and the play calling responsibilities when you played?
I think it really started my third year in the league, and that was the first year fully that I started. I think we split time. Brandon got injured a couple games, and then after that, I kind of took over having the green dot.
We were talking with
Todd. So you had plenty of. Sorry, I just wanted to follow up, Eric.
Go ahead.
So you had a couple of years under your belt by then. So for Justin, what kind of challenge does he have having, you know, basically his rookie season was wiped out and he just stepped in the lineup in the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's tough because you're still trying to learn your way around playing in the NFL. So everybody's bigger, everybody's stronger, everybody's faster, and you're right when you feel like you're starting to get the hang of it. I know some more pressure has been put on his shoulders. So, like I said, he's going to have to learn on the fly. And, you know, he's a smart kid, so I think he'll do a great job with it. But he'll definitely have to learn while he's out there.
We're talking with Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ with the Broncos, longtime Broncos linebacker. Give me a couple of words to describe. No, not a couple of words. Give me a couple of adjectives to describe the highest paid secondary in the league in which you have seen play over the last 3 weeks?
I think I'll just give you one. I'm just a little surprised. You know, I think that this group has looked really good the first three games, and maybe I've taken a step back from how well they looked. I'm looking forward to seeing them respond. I know they're all fighters, but they definitely haven't looked the way they're capable of looking. So hopefully they can get back to that.
Do you think that has to do with the level of competition that they were facing?
I do think that the level of competition has something to do with it. I think they've been playing much better quarterbacks and much better wide receiver cores. But at the same time, they're not as bad as they have looked in the last 3 weeks. They're not that bad. I think that they can definitely come back and you know, look a lot better coming into this week.
With some of those deep plays they gave up on Sunday, from your perspective, what went wrong in terms of execution or schematically that led to all those big plays?
You know, that's really tough because I don't like to, point fingers because I hated it when people did it to me because nobody actually knows the call. So you can't say whether it was the corner's fault, that he should have been on top, or if the safety needed some help, or if somebody else should have taken him, because nobody knows the call except for the defensive players. But I do think that's, you know, something as far as the league being a copycat league. You saw that the Ravens hit a couple shots deep downfield, and last week they hit a couple shots deep downfield. So, you know, I'm looking to see other teams do the same thing. So hopefully they can get it corrected and won't have to deal with that problem anymore throughout the season.
Todd, I don't know if you heard what Von Miller said at yesterday's press conference. For those that haven't, and maybe you have, I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, I'm going to go off. I'm going to have a great game. I'm going to go out there and play well and get a couple of sacks. If we can do that, then we're going to win. I don't know who the tackle is that I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him and the other guy on the other side. You know Von very well. You know the Browns are all banged up on offense. What were your thoughts when you heard him say that?
I love it. I think it's exactly what the defense, the team, needs to hear. They need to hear the most dominant player on the field and their leader, their team captain, go out there and, you know, speak with confidence and tell the team what he's going to do. I think that makes everybody feel like, you know, we have to pull their weight. If I'm going to go out there and have a great game, then, you know, when he creates a sack fumble, I got to scoop before a touchdown, or I got to get a pick six to help add on to what Von's doing. So it helps bring the whole team on board to the mindset of winning and creating big plays. Really making a splash, so I'm excited to see it.
Joe Woods, who you played for, defensive coordinator of the Browns, what can we expect from his defense?
They're going to be a lot of zone. They're going to, you know, mix in a little bit of man every now and then. You know, he does like to list his linebackers in his secondary. You know, really that nickel position. He likes to bring them so. I think that the Broncos have a good chance against their defense. You know, all the weapons we have, if Teddy can be healthy and, you know, get back to how he was looking the first couple games of the season and protect the ball, I think they have a good chance against Joe Wooden and his defense.
Todd, tell us about the Davis Fund.
So the Davis Fund is a real estate investment and acquisitions company started by myself and my wife. You know, I'm the investor. My wife is the real estate agent and the money, and we find opportunities here in Denver to invest in homes. You know, we flip homes. We help people as far as we build homes, renovate homes so that they can use for charity. They also, we do for-profit things as well. But, you know, just here trying to make Denver the most beautiful city because we're here to stay and we love it.
I want to drill a little bit deeper on the non-for-profit part of it. Why is that so important to you, and what kind of families are you helping?
You know, so non-profit has always been important to me because the first time I ever went to a football camp was a non-profit camp. You know, it was a guy named Marlon McCree. He played for the San Diego yep. Chargers for a while. Mm-hmm. I went to his camp, and I think that really inspired me. And, you know, I had never seen anybody in the NFL before come back, you know, touch their neighborhood or just be there to shake his hand or get words of wisdom from him. So I know that inspired me and helped me to get to the NFL, play for 7 years, and have a great career. So I want to be able to, you know, inspire other people that way. And then just outside of football, I know that so many people are struggling. Financially, I know COVID, you know, did a lot of damage to people. So I'm just trying to do what I can, do my part to really make a difference. I think it's important. If you have a little bit extra, or you have a little bit more than somebody else, then it's on you to share or figure out how to help pull the next person up. So that's what I'm trying to do now.
How do people get a hold of you and Zena with the Davis Fund?
Well, the best way to get a hold of us is emailing us at davisinvesting@yahoo.com. You know, our website is on the way. You can go to bToddDavis.com to see what I'm doing with my foundation. As far as events and new things coming up. So, reach out to us.
By the way, I'm glad you weren't at the gym today. You're always hogging those 100-pound dumbbells. And finally, you left a couple for me, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
Yeah. I know you can always help me out when it comes to lifting weights. I'll see you at the gym soon, my friend.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good.
All right, Todd Davis from the Davis Fund, of course, won a Super Bowl as a Broncos linebacker. Coming up after the break, been talking a lot of Broncos, but guess what's starting tonight? The Nuggets, season opener against the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year. We'll talk about that next.
Swallow my doubt, turn it inside out. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Nuggets start the season tonight against a team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year, the Phoenix Suns. And before we get into tonight's game and the season, Mace, the joke in the media is, boy, if the Rockies can get us to the Broncos season, has it hit a point where it's, man, if the Broncos can get us to the Nuggets and Avs season?
Yeah. At least the relevant part of it, because, yeah. The Avs have started, but it's such a long slog with hockey season, even the NBA season as well, that you inevitably, I know people overreact when the seasons start. They do this in baseball as well with 162 games, but I think it's best to just kind of sit back and watch for a few weeks and kind of see how things flow. And really, that's why I think the Broncos, they kind of need to get us another month here, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Tonight, it's the first game. It's one game. I get it. But it's against the team that embarrassed them last year in the playoffs. Let's call it like it is. I know it's one game. But is tonight's game maybe, I don't want to say a foreshadowing of things to come. Listen, you have 81 games after this. But you want to see how, for lack of a better phrase, they respond from what happened last year.
You do. And the thing about that series, except for a few bursts, it was not a competitive series for the most part against the Suns. And honestly, maybe I have low expectations for this particular matchup, but I think I just want to see them compete a bit better and play it close. I'm not looking for a win tonight. I don't know about you.
Wow. Really?
I think if they play tenacious, don't get run off the court. You're on the road. Crowd's going to be into it. Suns have a lot of confidence. You lose this game by 5 or 6 points. You play hard and tenacious throughout. I think you got what you need from this game.
Play better than you did in that playoff series. I just don't want to hear in the opener that they came out flat.
Uh-huh.
And listen, they didn't play well in the preseason. They just didn't. And Jokic has made more than a few comments about it. With that, which player are you most excited to see on the floor tonight? Is it Jokic, MPJ, a retooled Aaron Gordon, or the kid Bones Highland? Or is there somebody else?
Let's put it this way. If we're most excited about Bones Highland, then that means the game probably got away from you unless gets really hot and you leave him out there.
No, I disagree. He's going to be with the second unit. He's not getting garbage time minutes. He was terrific in the preseason.
They're still going to be limited. I'm more excited for Michael Porter Jr. I want to see what he brings tonight. And I want to see that first game with a big contract, too.
Right.
I want to see what his motivation level is.
His line score needs to be what? For you to say, okay, he's off to a good start. This is the guy that we signed to a long-term deal. He needs to do what?
24 points.
Wow.
Better and at least 35% from three point range. That's a perfectly fine night for him. And I'd like to see him end up with at least with 5 or 6 rebounds and 3 or 4 assists.
Yeah. For MPJ, for me, while Jamal Murray's out, and he's going to be out for a while, we need to see 22, 7 or 8 rebounds, and about four assists. That's what we need to see consistently for this team to stay in it until Jamal comes back. He cannot be having 15-point nights.
Yeah, I mean, 15-point nights are fine. He can't be.
No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. 15? No, they're not. Not for a guy who just got a max deal. 15 points is not enough.
Because I mean, 15 points is the minimum. Is the minimum? Yes, but if he has 15 one night and he has 30 the next night, I mean that's
inconsistent.
22.5. That's 22.5.
No, I don't look at it that way.
Inconsistent to me is if you're having too many of those stinkers where you're cold from the floor and you're only getting like 8 or 9 points. That's if you're getting at least 15, I think you've at least contributed something positive to it.
He should fall out of bed and get 15. They're going to have a difficult time. They're going to have a difficult time if he's averaging about 17 points a game over the first 2 months. They're going to have a difficult time winning games.
Right.
He is the number two option.
But what depresses the average is not a 15 point night here and there. It's an 8 point night, a 7 point night here and there. If he gets 15 and then gets 26 the next night, I mean, you're saying, okay, that's fine. That's fine.
How'd you feel if Jokic had a couple of 15 point nights in a row? They're both max contract guys.
But he's banked success equity that MPJ hasn't banked yet.
Well,
completely different. Completely different.
I expect more out of him than a 15 point night. Pretty much on any night.
Like, here's the thing. Like, look at MPJ last year in the playoffs, right? He had an 11 point night and he had a 3 point night.
Well, he was injured too. He was injured too.
Every other night he was above 15. And then that's, to me, 15 is the baseline. He shouldn't fall below that. If he has 15, he's hit the baseline. No. If he's below that, then I'm worried.
What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
We'll get into that record, not a record, but a first time for an NBA star in seven years. I'm all over the place tonight. Sorry. In almost 5 years, since 2017, first time that this NBA star has accomplished this feat. And also interesting comments from West Virginia men's basketball coach Bob Huggins about the NCAA tournament. That's coming up on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And a bottle of wine to hold you tonight.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfpe.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, last night in the NBA season debut, the second game, Steph Curry recorded his first triple-double since 2017, and that was in a win. 121-114 for the Warriors over the Lakers. Nikola Jokic, he loves a triple-double. He gets them pretty frequently. He's ninth in NBA history for career triple-doubles with 57, and there are only three active players ahead of him on the list. James Harden at 58, LeBron James at 99, and Russell Westbrook has the record at 184 career triple-doubles and still counting. Who will finish their career with the most triple-doubles? Nikola Jokic, James Harden, or LeBron James?
I honestly don't know. I'm just going to guess LeBron.
Wait, where are they on the list again? Where are all three?
Yeah.
LeBron has 99.
Yep.
Harden has 58. And yep. Jokic has 57.
Jokic. I'll go with Jokic because he's younger. The only reason why is because he's younger. Yeah. That's it.
Just in case you missed it, West Virginia men's basketball coach Bob Huggins suggests that major conferences should form their own postseason tournament and ditch the NCAA tournament as conference realignment shifts the landscape of college sports. Would this really benefit the larger programs that much to break away in basketball, and could this happen sometime in the next 10 years?
So wait,
it could happen, and I hope it doesn't.
Wait,
because the best thing about the tournament is the all-comers nature of it.
Wait, so Huggins is suggesting that the major conferences should have their own tournament?
Correct.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of agree with you, Mace, but the Gonzagas of the world come around as often as Cicadas. Because Gonzaga's not in a major conference, are they?
West Coast Conference.
They're not in a major conference, right? And your George Masons come around every couple of decades.
But it's not just about the teams that get to the Final Four. I mean, you think it's about the 15 over the 2 in the first round, the 14
right.
over the 3. I mean, that's, you could argue that's where the magic of the tournament rests, is in those first round upsets, and then with that team maybe going and stacking another win on top of it. And I feel like we see this in football as well. Everyone's so obsessed with, oh, it's about just about who's number one at the end, when it's also about all the games along the way. That's why I wish college football would have a 24-team tournament with every conference winner getting in, because it's not just about the final number one. It's about everything along the way.
Well, here's the thing, but
the big schools would rather protect their interests.
Here's the thing. The NCAA knows it might eventually lose college football, because college football isn't necessarily under the NCAA's umbrella, especially when it comes to bowl games and it comes to the playoff, right? The NCAA's bell cow in terms of making money is the NCAA tournament, and they will do everything they can and make every concession that they can to keep the tournament. They've already lost the major money in college football. But their moneymaker, they're not even an organization if they lose the NCAA tournament. There's no point in having an NCAA. That's how they get funded, essentially.
But do you think they would go along with this, just a big team-only tournament, just to keep it under their auspices?
I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, after name, image, and likeness, the Supreme Court going against them, the NCAA is fractured, certainly when it comes to, I use this term loosely, amateurism, but yeah. The NCAA has to keep the NCAA tournament. That is their bell cow. That is really 90% of their income. And if they lose this, there's no reason to have the NCAA. Football's gone.
Yeah.
They don't get the money from football. And really, that's where the money is anyway.
Just in case you missed it, NFL.com's quarterback index heading into week 7. Teddy Bridgewater sits at number 18, but let's take a look at the top 5 here. At number 5, Derek Carr. Number 4, Lamar Jackson. Number 3, Kyler Murray. Number 2, Tom Brady. And number 1, coming off of that horrific injury last year, Dak Prescott. What quarterback has most overperformed this season in your mind, and which one has most underperformed?
Of those 5?
Just in general. I just wanted to say those 5 because I was surprised where Derek Carr was on the list.
Yeah, he's had a really good season, though, again. I mean, he's put up some numbers. Mace, you want to start us off?
Well, the thing is, Derek Carr, his numbers actually weren't, like, his rating wasn't great before last week. I'd say the guy, one of the guys who was underperforming, and it was, and because of injury, obviously, I think Baker Mayfield was underperforming.
Yeah,
relative to what he should be. Yeah, he's again, injured. It's injury, but still, I think he's under. I think he was underperforming, and then over. You know what? I figured Tom Brady would be good, but I did not expect he'd still be this good. At this point, every day is borrowed time for him, and he's still legit top two, top three quarterback.
Right. Russell Wilson has the highest quarterback ranking in the league. Right? Matthew Stafford's having a fantastic season. Mm-hmm. Maybe in terms of stats, outside of Brady, and I can't believe I'm saying that because he's 44. Listen, Brady has 17 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and his quarterback rating is 108. Russell Wilson's quarterback rating is 125.
But also I would say this for Tom Brady. He is not in his prime years. Like, Russell Wilson should be doing well. He's in his prime.
Yep.
This is just marveling at Tom Brady continuing to defy Father Time.
I mean, did you ever think that Patrick Mahomes would not be in that top five? I mean, could you have possibly imagined that? And I think the answer is no.
I think he should be in the top five.
He was number 6.
Yeah, I think he should be higher.
Right. His quarterback rating is 103. And you know who's 2 slots behind him in quarterback rating?
Teddy Bridgewater. That's the thing. Passer rating and all these things are individual are good individual tools, but we're not. But I don't think you can legitimately say Teddy Bridgewater's a top 10 quarterback.
Right. Brady's had a phenomenal season.
Yes.
I mean, you can make the case he's having the best season of his career, or arguably one of the best seasons of his career. All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, if you suffered hail damage over the last couple of months, highly recommend you go with Masterpiece Roofing. One of my buddies did. And John from Masterpiece Roofing went out there, looked at his roof. And my buddy said, well, over $20,000 worth of damage to everything, gutters, everything. And he said, John did such a good job. He said to me, he feels that he's only going to have to pay his deductible. That's what Masterpiece Roofing is going to do for you. Not only do great work, but make sure that your insurance company is going to pay for everything they should be paying for. Go with the best, Masterpiece Roofing. Go to Masterpiece Roofing. .com. Alex and Danny, great job today. Mace, you will not be doing the show tomorrow because of the game tomorrow, but you are going to join us for a segment. What do you think? 5:15 work for you Denver time, 7:15 your time?
Yeah, let's do it. That'll be right after we get inactives. Okay. And also,
well, that's why I planned it that way.
I'll probably have a look at Teddy Bridgewater early pregame and be able to hopefully illuminate how he's looking.
Perfect. Justin Adams from CBS 4 will be joining me in studio. Make it the best possible night you can.